Amplify, Creatives of Color Podcast Network.
So hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Pearls of Blackness, Pearls of Wisdom through the lens of Black culture. And I am none other than Carissa Mosley Jones, your host and official pearl bearer. So fall is officially here and it's October. So that means sweater weather, football, family holidays are approaching. And guess what? It's also Breast Cancer Awareness Month, which is an annual campaign to increase awareness of this disease. Now, last episode, we talked about self-care and its importance to our mind, body, soul, and overall well-being. And we talked about how important it was to be in tune with our bodies and our minds, and that so that we're keenly aware of what is going on with us and when something isn't in the norm. So today's episode is one that is near and dear to my heart because it's a topic that's near and dear to my heart. And before we get started, I want to just say this quote that I found online, but it says, supporting the fighters, admiring the survivors, honoring the taken, and never, ever giving up hope. So one thing that we know about Breast Cancer Awareness Month is that it's all about hope and wearing that pink ribbon. Let's talk some facts for a second. So according to the National Breast Cancer Foundation, in 2020, there is an estimated 276,480 new cases of invasive breast cancer that will be diagnosed in women in the U.S., as well as 48,530 new cases of non-invasive breast cancer. 64% of breast cancer cases are diagnosed at a localized stage, meaning there is no sign that the cancer has spread outside of the breast, for which the five-year survival rate is 99%. This year, an estimated 42,000 women will die from breast cancer in the United States. And we're talking a lot about women, but let's not forget, although it's rare, men can get breast cancer too. And in 2020, an estimated 2,620 men will be diagnosed with breast cancer this year, and approximately 520 will die. Now, 1 in 8 women in the United States will be diagnosed with breast cancer in her lifetime. And breast cancer is the most common cancer in American women, except for skin cancer. It is estimated that in 2020, approximately 30% of all new women cancers diagnosis will be breast cancer. There are over 3.5 million breast cancer survivors in the U.S. And on an average, every 2 minutes, a woman is diagnosed with breast cancer in the United States. According to the World Health Organization, breast cancer is the most common cancer among women worldwide, claiming lives of hundreds of thousands of women each year and affecting countries at all levels in modernization. Now, that was a lot, right? We do know that there's some good news about breast cancer trends in that in recent years, because of the decline in prescriptive hormone replacement therapies after menopause, we've seen a gradual reduction in female breast cancer incidents. And also, death rates from breast cancer have declined since the early 1990s, in part to better screening and early detection, increased awareness, and continually improving treatment options. Now, why did I say all of that? Why is Breast Cancer Awareness Month important to me? Well, I'm going to tell you. When I was 16 years old, I was being a teenager. My mom had a breast cancer self-exam flyer, pamphlet, thingamajig, hanging in the shower. And I was just being a typical 16-year-old. And I'm like, well, let me see what this is talking about. So I'm standing in the shower and I begin to do what the pamphlet tells you to do. Well, lo and behold, when I'm doing that, I do realize that I feel something different in my breast. Now, keep in mind, I'm a 16-year-old, so I'm small and petite. I always have hip bands, so it's not a lot up there. But nevertheless, when I felt that, I immediately was like, Mama, I feel something in my breast. And so she, in turn, checked that area and we made a doctor's appointment. I went to the doctor and they ran tests on me. I had ultrasounds done. I had a biopsy done because there was some cysts in my breast. And turned out that I had fibroadenoma, which is fibrocystic breast disease. And I was diagnosed with that when I was 16 years old. And upon that diagnosis, I met a fabulous local oncology surgeon, here in the city of Chattanooga where I live. And his name is Dr. Alvaro Valle. He works at University Surgical Associates. And he began the journey with me with my fibroadenoma. And from the time I was 16 until today, and I am now 39 years old, I used to see Dr. Valle twice a year, and I would get ultrasounds from the time I was 16 up until about 35. And then when I turned 35, I began to get breast ultrasounds and a mammogram. So I get a mammogram once a year and two breast ultrasounds every year. I'm now 39 and I haven't done that within the past year simply because I had a baby last June and I was breastfeeding. And so they didn't want to run those tests on me that way. So that's my experience there. Fast forward from age 16 to age 34, I began to have some leaking in my breast. And I remember Dr. Valier would tell me if I ever saw anything coming out of my breast to notify him because there may be something wrong there. So I began to have this leaking in my breast and I thought maybe I was just lactating. I mean, I was 35 and I was at the age 34, 35. And I kind of didn't pay attention to it the way I should have. And then when it became ongoing for like a week or so, I did make the appointment and we began the test. That was in April of 2015. And from April of 2015 until November of 2015, they ran all kind of tests on me. So I had MRIs, I had biopsies, I had ultrasounds, I had a mammogram, all trying to figure out why my breast was doing this and what these cysts and tumors were doing in my breast. And it was hard for them to rule out if they were, if it was cancer or if it was precancerous. But turned out that I had some papillomas in my breast. And after we ruled out that it wasn't cancer, because we were able to determine that it was the papillomas, because I have dense breast tissue, they did have to go in and try to remove the papillomas to ensure that they were not precancerous cells in them. And so in December of 2015, I had a partial mastectomy where a quadrant of my right breast was removed because they couldn't rule out if it was precancerous cells or not. But the pathology came back that it was not precancerous cells in there. So praise God, I did not have cancer. But that was quite a journey and it was scary. I'm not going to tell you it was scary. And even though I am a woman of major faith, like Robin Roberts says, when fear knocks, you have to let faith answer the door. But that was hard because I was 34 years old and I was literally in the prime of my life. And I was just like, yeah, I don't have this to do. And so I then began to understand what other women across the country and the world were experiencing that were my age and older or even younger. And so my awareness of breast cancer amplified. I'd always supported because I had so many people in my life, family members. I had a sister-in-law to pass away from breast cancer, a mother figure in my life to pass away from cancer that I grew up in church with. I had family members, cousins and aunts on my grandmother's side and extended family who had passed away or had breast cancer. And so we'd always been aware of it, but it was just different when it hit home for me. So long story short, that is why it's really important to me to celebrate breast cancer awareness and to be an advocate for breast cancer and breast health, not only in October, but year round. And most recently, it's become very near and dear to my heart because there is a beautiful young lady that I have in the room with me tonight that is my special guest. And she, anybody that knows me knows that she is like, yeah, she's like a piece of my heart outside of my body. And that is my niece. So she is my second oldest niece, my oldest sister's daughter. And her name is Tequila. And we grew up like pretty much like more probably like sisters or cousins than we did auntie and aunt because we're very, I mean, auntie and niece because we're very close in age. But I consider her to be my very own personal warrior. And she is a recent breast cancer survivor. So today I asked her to come on to the podcast to talk with me and to share her story and to give any type of encouragement or advice that she'd like to share with the world about her journey. And I'm very grateful that she is here because I know this is still fresh for her, but she is never been one to not come out of her comfort zone or to come out of the box. So I kind of expected that she would tell me yes when I asked her. but like I said, she is here. So ladies and gentlemen, I want to introduce to you none other than Miss Tequila Thomas, and I'll let her take it from here. So Key, thank you for being here. I call her Key. We all call her Key. But thank you for joining me today on Pearls of Blackness.
Thank you for having me and giving me the opportunity to share. I appreciate it. This will be my first time actually talking about it in detail, I guess in full, from beginning to end. So I'm just glad to have the opportunity. So
I'm gonna let you start. And she's right. Like she held this from us as family. And I remember when she told us that she had been diagnosed, it was shortly after my father, her grandfather had passed away in December. And she told us probably the first of the year around February, I think it was. And we were like, well, why didn't you say anything when she told us when she found out? And she was like, well, I was just going to go through it by myself. And we were all like, no, you really can't just go through it by yourself. But if you know her, then that's her. Like, she just handles her business and she does her thing. And so she did open up and tell us about it. And we went on that journey with her. We would not have dared let her go on that journey by herself. And so she's had an amazing circle of friends and family that have been with her. So I'm going to be quiet. I'm going to let her kind of tell you about how she got to this point. And we'll go from there.
All right. So I guess when I was a sophomore in college, I forget what year that was because I'm so old now. But when I was a sophomore in college, I did a self-exam, and it wasn't like I was trying to. I just noticed something different with my breast. I noticed I had a lump. Told my mom about it. We went to a doctor. They decided that they would do a biopsy and remove the lump in full and see if it was cancerous. Well, it came back benign, and I was lucky that it was benign, but I remember the feelings, the emotions at that point, being a sophomore in college. I'm like, I have so much more left to do. And this, not knowing if I have cancer or not. So when it came back benign, I was like, okay, thank you.
Right.
Thank you, God. Let me keep going. Let me keep pushing, doing what you have out here for me in this world. But, and it also, that just brought awareness for me, the importance of checking, making sure your breast, your body, anything that's wrong with your body, making sure you're in tune,
right.
You know. So fast forward to, I guess, several years later, I'm currently 36 years old. And last year around my birthday, I say October, I noticed I had been feeling some kind of little pain in my breasts, and I noticed there was a lump. I do my self-exams, and I noticed it felt different. It wasn't like a really big, pronounced lump, mm-hmm. but it was really hard, a little hard, and then it was kind of deep. And so I was like, this seems like something I should probably go take care
right.
of. But I also know that as women, you get cysts and stuff like that in your breasts.
Right.
So sometimes they go away. And so I put it off because I was out on the road working. This was in October. My job was going to have a mammogram truck come out in November. I said, you know something? I'll make it back to Chattanooga to do the mammogram truck. That way I can just get it checked in.
Right.
Well, I ended up staying in Kentucky working continuously. And I was like, let me just put it off. And, you know, you got that fear, like, I don't want it to be anything negative, but I do need to check it out. So eventually, after I got off the road, I came back home. I did not tell anyone about my suspicion. I just kind of, like, let me just see if I can get a mammogram scheduled or something like that. So I went to the doctor. They ordered me a mammogram because they felt the same thing that I felt in my breast, the lump. It was more than one lump I felt. But so they ordered the mammogram. I went and had a mammogram. They said, yeah, we see you have a cyst here. And this area we're not sure about, so we're going to send you to get a biopsy. After that, went and got a biopsy. At this point, I still had not told anyone.
Not a soul.
Not a soul. And it was only because my family at that time had just been through a lot. And I just didn't want anybody to worry because I thought the more I tell myself it'll be okay, it will be okay. And so I went, got the biopsy. And I think at that point, after I got my biopsy, I went ahead and told my mom and my dad and my boss because more things start coming about. Mm-hmm. I had to take more appointments and all this stuff. And I remember it like it was yesterday at lunchtime. January 24th at 12:30, I got a phone call because after I got my biopsy, me being who I am, he says, how do you want the information delivered, the results? I said, immediately. So you can call me if you need to. You know, I don't want to have to come to the office and wait on you to tell me because I want to know the information now. So they called me January 24th at 12:31 p.m. during the day. I'm at work, working like nothing is bothering. And he calls me and says, hey, you got a moment to talk? I said, sure. He's like, are you sitting? I said, I can be. Still
not thinking
he's going to tell me I have breast cancer. But at that point, he told me, he said, your biopsy came back positive for breast cancer. And everything else he said, I didn't hear anything else. And I was in a state of shock. Like,
understandably.
I was like, nah, me? I got breast cancer?
Right.
Maybe we need to redo this again. But I didn't hear anything else he said, and all I know is he scheduled a series of appointments and tests. Now, at that point, I couldn't just keep it concealed. I could not say anything to anyone, but I tried to still hold off on it because I was trying to absorb the information and digest it myself and come to grips with it, I guess. The first person after getting that I called was my best friend, and we cried together. And after that, I just said, I'm gonna push it back, move forward.
Typical tequila.
I'm gonna push it back and move forward and just do what needs to be done. Go see, I don't know to what extent, you know, is it all over in both breasts, is it in one breast? I don't know the details right at that point. So I just move forward, go to appointments, and I have my mom and dad there with me at that point. And I still hadn't told the rest of the family because just I feel like I didn't have enough information. And
that's the engineer in her.
Yeah, that is the engineer in me. And I am very appreciative for the medical group that dealt with me because they gave me loads of information to make the decisions that I had to make. So I went to several appointments. I got MRIs, all kind of scans, everything leading up to just to ensure what was going on within my body. So ultimately my diagnosis was I had invasive ductal carcinoma and ductal carcinoma in situ. And it's basically when you have the cells inside of your breast duct grow within the duct, it's ductal carcinoma in situ. But when it gets outside of that duct and starts going into other parts of the breast tissue, then it's invasive. Ductal carcinoma. And so I had both in my right breast. And it was not in one quadrant of my breast, so it was in multiple locations. They call it multicentric. And because of that, I could not just get like a lumpectomy.
Right.
They recommend, in order to be sure that they were able to get it all, they recommended that I remove my whole breast, right breast at this time. And but they give you the option, of course, to you can remove one breast or remove both breasts. And so at this point, now I'm like, yesterday I was fine. And then today I got to make a decision if I'm going to take off both breasts or one breast. So I'm like, oh my gosh. But I do believe with all the tests that were run and everything, all the information that was given to me, it helped me make an informed decision on going ahead and moving forward with a bilateral mastectomy to remove both my breasts. And with immediate reconstruction after. The whole process is very emotional.
can believe that.
Emotional.
Although she didn't try to make it seem that way.
Well, no, because I felt like what you put out into the universe is what you get back.
Which is true.
So I wanted to remain positive throughout. I wanted to be surrounded by positivity. I didn't want anything negative.
Right.
Around me at all.
Which is why I said that she's a warrior to me, because if you watched her through the process, and I talked a little bit about this in the episode prior to with self-care, we talk about protecting your peace. She really protected her peace, and she really wanted nothing but positive people and energy around her. And we fed off of that. And because we are a very spiritual family, we, of course, were positive in that aspect anyway. We were just believing God that he was going to do what we saw him do and everybody else who had overcome this. And he did just that. But she was very protective of her peace. Very protective of her peace. So side pearl, if you're going through something, I do strongly suggest, especially when it comes to your body, that you do protect your peace, because medical studies show that stress will amplify and increase things in your body. And so I think you made a very wise decision to protect your peace.
Yes, that was one of my primary focuses.
So you went through all of that. You had the surgery, and then it was time for treatment, right?
Yes. So being that my cancer was multicentric, and they say, compare it to a dandelion. When you blow a dandelion, the little
pieces
go everywhere. So you don't know where it goes within your body. So I had to do chemotherapy treatment, 4 doses of chemotherapy treatment after I had the bilateral mastectomy, which chemotherapy was a monster in itself, but it's not anything that anyone can't get through. It's hard on your body. It's another emotional roller coaster, because at this point you have, it almost feels like everything that makes you a woman is being taken away from you slowly. It's been peeled back.
Gotcha.
Like I have a mastectomy. So my boobs are gone at this point. I go through chemo. I lose my hair, my eyebrows, my eyelashes.
She was still cute though.
And my nails. And so it peeled back all those things for me. And it was very emotional, up and down for me. But at one point, like I said, I wanted to remain positive. And so it made me have a different, look at myself through a different lens and have a different love for myself and who I was as a person without all of that.
Right.
So it still doesn't make it any less emotional, because what girl doesn't like to go get her nails done
right.
Pink and...
Right, that's true. Get her lashes.
You know, you get your new hair, your lashes and all that. It's still like $1 million, you know? But so it was still a process, and it takes your body through a lot pain-wise as well. But like I said, I had a great support system. My family and friends, I couldn't have made it through without any of them. Including
that's a blessing that you have a circle, because I'm sure that as you were going to treatments, there were some people who didn't have that support. Now, keep in mind, people, that she's doing all of this in the middle of a pandemic. So that was a whole nother layer that I think we often, even as her family, didn't think about. I know I often thought about her. The only reason why I thought about her going through that in a pandemic is because, of course, somebody always, you know, when you hear people going through treatments, you can take people with you for support, so forth and so on. And I remember when she was getting ready to start her treatment, me asking that. And then I said, oh, shoot, coronavirus is here. Can't nobody go with you? And so that was one thing that I know she did have to do alone in that. I mean, she would send us pictures and texts and stuff, but to actually somebody physically being there with her, she was there by herself. Now, she had her parents, of course, like she said, her dad lives out of town, but he would come every time she had a treatment and wait for her to start and wait for her to finish, and her mom and some other special people in her life. So she had that and she went through that. And I would say a blessing is that the physicians in the breast center that she used for treatment, they showed a lot of grace because they allowed somebody to come. When she rang that bell, because she did ring the bell, there's pictures for that. They allowed somebody to come, right?
Yes, they allowed a few people to come, and they had it in a different location to where it was more open.
So somebody was there to celebrate with her, but that's a lot. So you're a 36-year-old, single, independent woman. You're career driven. So I mentioned earlier, she's an engineer, and she's, I mean, in any other given situation pre-pandemic, you would find her in somebody's island on a trip somewhere in the country. She's never sitting still. And so I know that this whole process was difficult for her. So she went through all of that. She rang the bell. And then she began her reconstruction.
Yes.
She began the reconstruction. And here we are now. And a whole year later, actually, because she said all of this began around her birthday, which is in October.
Yes.
And we are coming upon her birthday this year in October. And once again, like I said, you know, she has a big old social circle. And so she, even in the midst of a pandemic, she is planning to celebrate her life.
Yeah.
And her life. And I say that in a bigger emphasis because not only is she celebrating a birthday, but she is celebrating life. And we are very grateful for her life. Now you heard her mention that she, started this process of self-examining and self, and checking her breast as a young girl, in college. And then I talked about my experience as a teenager. And so, in the facts that I gave earlier, they talked about how early detection is key.
Mm-hmm.
So, Key, talk a little bit about your doctors and what they said about the fact that you caught it early enough to where you are able to be here and to do what you're doing now, right?
Right. Yeah, they said I caught it early, and they were proud of me for having the courage to step up and say I found something, because most times you think if I don't think about it, it'll go away.
Right, and it doesn't.
It doesn't go away. It's there and it's multiplying depending on what type of cancer you have.
Right.
And so, I was able to catch it to where I was at stage 1A, which they said, that's great.
Right.
You know, we're able to deal with this. We can deal with this.
Right.
We can handle this.
Because some cancers can go stage 4, stage 5. And once, honestly, from what I know from my medical experience, when they get to stage 4 and 5, they're pretty much far gone and they're metastasizing into other places. And so there is a blessing in that stage 1.
Right. And being that I caught it that early, I didn't require radiation, which is also another process that is hard on the body.
Right.
So it's very, very important to do your self-exams and check and be in tune with your body and know
what's going on,
what is and what is not supposed to be there.
Right. And people joke about a self-breast exams. And I know Dr. Valier always would tell me one way to do it, of course, is to do the exam, but then make sure you do both parts of your body and even checking like on each side of your body, because there may be something going on one side of your body that's not going on the other side. And it might not just be your breast. It could be your lymph node areas, or it could be other places under your armpits and so forth and so on, to make sure that they're even in your pelvis area, to make sure that those things align. If you feel a lump on one side, but you don't feel it on another, that's something to question. Now, if you feel a lump and a lump, that might just be natural body tissue. You still should report it, but it could turn out to be natural body tissue. So self-breast exams are important. And if you are at the age, because we might have older listeners, if you're at the age where you have to get mammograms, go get a mammogram.
And if you are not at the age where you have to get mammograms, please do your self-exams. And if you feel like you need a mammogram and you're not at the age, please let your doctor know so that you can go.
Right. You can get a mammogram or an ultrasound. They have plenty of ways to check you. And people talk about the pressure of a mammogram, but I'd rather take 30 seconds to a minute, a little pressure on my breast tissue, than to be dealing with something long term that I just was too scared to address. So I really appreciate you sharing your story with me. And I want to tell you this, that I hope that when you see your reflection, you see the same girl that I see, a woman with battle wounds that make you more unique and beautiful than ever before. When I tell y'all, this girl is a warrior. She is a warrior. And I know, like I say, a lot of times she keeps stuff to herself, but she always knows that we are here for her to support her. So I thank her for taking time today to share her story, because we've always been taught that our test becomes a testimony to help somebody else. And so I thank you for doing that. This week, all my listeners, I empower you to take the pearls that have been shared with you about this episode and about breast cancer awareness and educate yourself or someone else, and take time to reflect on your own personal experiences or those that you know that may have been affected by breast cancer. Here are just a few ways that you can help women in need this month. And I challenge you to do all, if not some of these. So we, Key and I have talked a lot about screening and access and treatment. Do yourself breast exams. Be sure that you're up to date and you know your status on what's going on with your breast. And encourage the women and men in your life to do the same. You can even make a one-time or monthly donations to help women in need, because there are a lot of people who don't have the insurance and the funding to be able to pay for treatment and to get what they need. So that's one way that you can do that. Educate yourself and others about breast cancer and how to overcome this disease, and support and volunteer in your local area's breast cancer awareness efforts. I know here in Chattanooga, there's always the big Race for the Cure walk, and it's walk and a race. I've never raced. I've done the walk. My church participates in it for many, many years. We've always done that in memory of our church members who live with breast cancer. And we were looking forward to doing that this year for Tequila. I don't know what that looks like this year with this pandemic, but don't worry, because next year when the world opens up, we'll be out there and you'll know it's us for Team Tequila. And also, I want you to encourage you to spread the word about Breast Cancer Awareness Month on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or LinkedIn. So all of my listeners, if you're listening to me, I know you have social media. So when you're talking about all that other mess on social media, make some posts about breast cancer awareness, pink ribbons, fight like a girl, strong AF. I mean, it's all kind of stuff out there. Survivors, in honor, in memory, all those things. Make some posts about that. And make sure that we are encouraging people to have hope, and hope for the cure, because we know that one day there will be a full cure for this. Share a story about how you or someone that you love has been affected by breast cancer, like I did today. I mentioned Tequila, but I also, shared an aunt. I had a sister-in-law who fought like a girl. She fought that thing to the very end, and she did pass away. Rest in heaven, Valencia, but she fought breast cancer as well. And proudly wear your pink and your pink ribbon during October or year-round in honor or in memory of those who are and were in the fight against this disease. Now, Tequila and I are in sororities, and her sorority color does have pink in it, and mine has red and white in it. And I do wear pink sometimes because I'm a girl, and I often wear pink for breast cancer. But this year, and this month, I will be proudly wearing my pink all month in some shape, form, or fashion for Tequila, because she is my girl, and because she kicked cancer's, and because this is public TV, radio, I'm going to say but she kicked it. Okay. So she won that thing. Cancer did not win. She won. And we are praising God for that. Most importantly, take time to get to know your body. If you don't already, listen to it. I promise you, she's going to always tell you how she's feeling and when she needs attention. Be sure that you're doing your own self-exams. And most importantly, support the cause. It matters. It could be the very thing that saves your life. Until next time, keep proudly wearing and sharing your pearls of wisdom. Peace, love, and blessings.
Amplify is a podcast network made up of people of color and operating out of Chattanooga, Tennessee. Amplify is a project of Rise Chattanooga, a minority-based cultural arts nonprofit organization focused on community education, performance, and arts and cultural preservation. You can find all of the podcasts on Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and risecha.org. Thank you so much for listening.